Honorable Gajendra Kumar Ponnambalam, you have 12 minutes. Order, please. Garu Sanjeeva Ranasinghe Mantri Tuma Moolasane Veta Paminenawa.
Katha karanna garu mantri tuma.
I thank you, Honorable Presiding Member. Firstly, I'd like to state at the very outset that in principle we are in agreement with the Honorable Justice Minister in bringing these amendments, particularly the amendment to the Code of Criminal Procedure. Any steps taken by the government, whether it be this government or any government, to use technology and to make the criminal justice process more convenient and more reasonable, I think in principle must be agreed upon and must be supported. So in that basis, the fact that these amendments allow people abroad to give evidence, to have accused under certain circumstances, suspects being excused from being present. All of these steps, I think, will go a great deal in preventing delays in the process of criminal justice, and we concur with the government in taking those steps. I think there is much more to be done, but at least in an odd way, it's quite surprising that it's taken this long for some of these amendments to be brought. So in that sense, I'd like to congratulate the Honourable Minister. I do think that in processes such as this, there will be shortcomings even with these amendments. There might be gaps that need to be filled. But knowing the Minister for what he is, I'm pretty certain he will address those in the future. I wish to take this opportunity, Honourable Presiding Member, to bring up certain comments that have concerns with regards to the rule of law and with regards to justice, natural justice. These are concepts that I think any Ministry of Justice will be concerned about. And these comments that I wish to draw this House's attention is with regards to the Honourable Foreign Minister, the Right Honourable Vijitha Hera, who has, when giving an interview to a private TV channel, has said, I saw the interview, it was in Sinhala, I saw the interview, so I can vouch for the veracity of the positions that I am going to state now. He has, in short, stated that legal action will be taken against those who claim that a genocide took place during the war, particularly the last stages of the war, and the basis for him to assert that position is because he feels that it goes counter to reconciliation and that it creates divisions, and on that basis it cannot be allowed. Now that has got to be one of the most ridiculous statements that any responsible minister, and that too a foreign minister, who is the ultimate minister who has to be answerable to the international community when it comes to going to the Human Rights Council and various other areas, to actually state. Because number one, Sri Lanka doesn't have the backbone. Sri Lanka doesn't have the backbone to ratify the Rome Statute. You don't even have the guts to recognize genocide as a crime in this country. You run away from that reality because you're too frightened. Just in case you ratify the Rome Statute, you can be hauled up to the ICC, so you don't want that. And in some way, without even ratifying the Rome Statute, if you make genocide a crime, maybe there will be a time when the judiciary and the prosecuting authority, if it is genuinely independent of the government, might at some point prosecute. So you don't have the guts. And without making genocide a crime in this country, to say that if anybody asserts that genocide has taken place is a crime, I think you can't get something more ridiculous than that. I think this attitude of the government, on the one hand says that they want to be different from the previous governments, saying that the previous governments were racist, that they did wrong before the elections. The NPP party didn't want to talk in terms of war heroes. They said that the term war heroes must not be used. That was before the elections, in order to get votes. But then thereafter, attending a function of the military and then stating things of this nature to the media, in our view, actually runs counter to the government's intention, or at least claimed intention, of wanting to be genuine about reconciliation. The fact remains, Honourable Presiding Member, that the Sri Lankan state, in its prosecution of the war, and even before, even in a non-war situation, because of the policies that have been pursued over the last 76 years, we believe that our identity was systematically being dismantled. That is the accusation. Today, for example, we had a meeting headed by the Prime Minister with regards to a very, very controversial gazette that came out on the 28th of March. And the government in principle agreed that the history in Sri Lanka has been quite problematic, and that the Tamil people have legitimate reasons to be very suspicious about various things that the governments do. And on that basis, that particular gazette can be construed as problematic, although the government's intention was not to, in fact, apparently make it so controversial. That the fact that that gazette can be construed in that way means that that process must be rethought. We welcome that. We welcome that. So when you acknowledge the history has been so heinous to the Tamil people, to then turn around and say that you can't say that a genocide took place without even being willing to make it a crime, and then actually be willing to face prosecutions, only makes it double talk. And I don't think the government should go down that path. The Honourable Vijita Herath must withdraw those comments. He must withdraw those comments, because those comments are dangerous. Those comments are dangerous because it curtails free speech, it makes a mockery of human rights, it gives sinister people the authority, the stamp of a minister to go after people who genuinely, like myself, who believes that a genocide took place, for me to assert the fact that a genocide took place and want justice for it. Why are you running away from justice? Why are you running away from justice? We are asking for justice. We want a criminal prosecutory process that is independent enough, and the only independent process that is possible is an international process. Why are you running away from that? Why are you not even being prepared to face it, unless you are guilty as charged? And if the Honourable Foreign Minister's intention is in fact to defend the guilty, then what he is doing becomes very, very clear. And I don't think that is the path this government should take. He must withdraw those comments. He must make it very clear. He must make it very clear. He must make it very clear. The second matter that I wish to bring out is with regards to Kurundur Mele. Now, Kurundur Mele is a very controversial site where the cyber temple, which is a registered temple, by the way, it was registered under the Ministry of Hindu Cultural Affairs in Colombo 1981, November 12th, it was registered by the government. Government's own ministry, that it is a legitimate Hindu worship site, has been desecrated, it has been destroyed, and a Buddhist temple has been built. That's one controversy. That is the first controversy. That still hasn't been resolved. This government hasn't even been willing to take that up. But, Honorable Presiding Member, the original Gazette notification came out in the 30s under the British, declaring about 79 acres as archaeologically sensitive areas. That was a Gazette. That's the only Gazette to date that is available with regards to Kurundur Mele. Right? After that, during the Gotabaya Rajapaksa government, the archaeological department wanted to take over a further 340 acres, saying that it should belong to the Kurundur Mele Vihari. Kurundu Vihari. And they earmarked 340 acres. But then when President Ranil Wickremesinghe came to power, there was a meeting under which he refused to accept that. He said that, no, that's all farmland. You can't just come and confiscate land like that. And he said that that must be allowed to be farmed. Now, despite that, Honorable Presiding Member, the Buddhist monk... I'm finishing. The Buddhist monk in charge of the Kurundu Vihari has caught hold of the police and the archaeological department and has started arresting people who are doing farming in that area that President Wickremesinghe said should be given for farming. They are now arresting. Just 2 weeks ago, three people were arrested. One was a minor, so he was released. The other two remain under remand custody even today. Even today. There is no Gazette notification that is demarcating anything other than that 79 acres which was gazetted in the 30s with regards to Kurundur Mele, right? But despite that, the archaeological department and the Buddhist monk, along with the police, are going around arresting people. Now, isn't this a rule of law problem? Under what basis are you arresting them? So, kindly, the government must intervene and must stop this. This must be stopped. A government's decision was taken over 2 years ago that those areas must be allowed to be farmed. And despite that decision and not that decision not being reversed, for the police to be going around arresting people like this and for the archaeological department to be working in an ad hoc way like this is just completely unacceptable. And I ask that the government intervene and ensure that those people are released forthwith. Thank you.
Karuniya Nujjavantuwa
kathawata
ne ajit